Welcome to NACSW's Podcast of the Month. Our podcast program makes available 20-minute samples of recordings of a wide variety of NACSW presentations and discussions on topics of particular interest to Christians in social work. Our Podcast of the Month program features a new sample podcast every 30 days for your listening pleasure. In addition, you can access the full-length version of this and all NACSW podcasts at no cost simply by becoming a member of NACSW or by ordering a copy of this podcast at a reasonable cost on NACSW's online bookstore. We hope you enjoyed today's sample podcast.
Well, thank you for being here today. So today's pre-convention institute is called Christian Roles and Social Movements for Social Justice. Our speaker today is John Singletary. John Singletary is the Associate Dean for Baccalaureate Studies in the Baylor School of Social Work, and he holds the Diana R. Garland Endowed Chair in Child and Family Studies. Dr. Singletary has served as Director of the Baylor Center for Family and Community Ministries until 2010, where he helped to lead the Faith and Service Technical Education Network, a research project at the School of Social Work funded by the Community Charitable Trust, focusing on the promising practices of human service programs offered by faith-based organizations. The scholarship continues to focus on congregations and organizations that serve children and families living in situations of poverty. Dr. Singletary is co-founder of Texas Hunger Initiative and Baylor Interdisciplinary Poverty Initiative, two Baylor efforts to address issues facing our communities. THI currently partners with Share Our Strength, ConAgra, Dairy Max, and USDA on more than $1 million worth of food security development projects. Before coming to Baylor, Dr. Singletary served as pastor at a local Mennonite congregation, an outreach worker for medical clinics serving people who are homeless, and a community organizer for a Methodist leading program, all in Richmond, Virginia. He has served as a consultant, encouraging churches to be involved in social justice and in social service and promoting social justice. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Singletary.
But from here on out, it's John. Dr. Singletary is way too much of a mouthful for me. All right, so title, Christian Roles, Social Movement, Social Justice. A couple of questions related to each one, just to get us thinking. And then we'll look at the objectives for the day and the schedule for the day, and we'll do some introductions. But several questions throughout, and a lot of what I'm doing is using questions as a way to guide the conversation. So, and just in putting the title together, some questions that were important to me is, what roles do Christians play in working for social change? How, and to what extent are those related to social movements? What is a social movement in light of what people of faith are doing for social change? People of faith do a lot for social change. We don't always think of it as social movements. And then, to what extent are these opportunities promoting social justice? And so, those questions led to this kind of a statement about how our faith inspires us to work for justice, to be a part of movements, and then today gives us an opportunity to reflect on these things together, to consider some specific examples. We'll all be invited to use an example to kind of be our guide through the conversation today as we look at some of the models of social movements. And then as we look at those models, we'll look at theoretical and theological insights that inform what it means to be a part of a social movement, that inform this arena of practice. So, as a result of all of this, hopefully we'll be able to understand more fully how social movements can express Christian views of social justice, and hopefully we'll be able to do that using theoretical and theological frameworks. We'll be able to identify examples of movements and the role of faith in those movements. And then we'll talk about theory enough and theology as well to be able to articulate some of your own frameworks for how these relate to social movements to the extent they're important to you. So here's our schedule, and then we'll stop and do introductions. And I say this mostly just so you know there are breaks throughout the day. So we'll do a break like every hour or so, and we'll look at different theories of movements. And I'll keep reminding us of the theories as we go. But we'll look at three or four main theories, and then we'll look at the role of theology as a part of that. And I have some examples of application of these that will fit in. So, for the sake of introduction, I want us to have some time to both write some things to reflect that way for the introverts in the room, but we'll also do some conversation in small groups and then all together for the extroverts to shine as well. But for the sake of the introverts, we'll go down that path first and invite the extroverts to be introspective as well. If you'll take a moment to just write responses to these questions. If you don't have paper, there are notepads and pens at the back. I want us to do some writing, so I made sure we had those notepads. But take a moment to write what comes to mind for you when you think of a social movement. Not what example comes to mind. That's up there as well. But first, what is it? What is a social movement? And then an example. And then, why does this one inspire you? So not why is this one a social movement, but why does this social movement inspire you that you think of as an example? Alright, so, as we introduce ourselves, I'll ask you to start with the traditional name, where you're from, your social work role, and then share some of what you wrote about how you define social movement, an example of one that stands out to you, and why you're interested in that one. So share some of what you wrote, but also tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do. And we don't have to work our way around the circle, so anyone can go first. I gave the introverts a moment, so now an extrovert can jump out and start talking.
My name is Jamie Kassler. I'm an extrovert.
Excellent, Jamie. Glad you're here. Hi, Jamie.
And I'm from Trevecca Nazarene University in Nashville, Tennessee. And my role there is I serve as the director and faculty in the Center for Social Justice there at Trevecca. And I define a social movement as a group of people who have joined together to address an issue that personally affects the broader community. And the social movement that inspires me, I'm inspired by all social movements because they're all unique in each way, but I've chosen a women's suffrage movement as my movement of choice. I'm really inspired by them because of the longevity of the cause, the tactics they use, and multi-generations that have gone the same cause, which is also a mutual choice. All those combined together inspired me in the movement.
It's my son's history fair project. I might have him get in touch with you next month. So let me get your name before.
Well, I can go next because I'm sitting next to you, but also because that's what I put down as well.
That's excellent.
I promise. I'm Julia Pizzuto from Mako, and I have a kind of a dual purpose. I pastor as well as teach. I've been at Eastern Palmer Seminary for a long time. I'm now at Palm Beach Atlantic. And I'm church planting in an area called Jupiter. So we have urban, suburban, and rural experience in ministry and social work, mostly teaching and doing some work with children. But anyway, the social movement, what I would add to your wonderful definition is that it's an opportunity and a crisis that sort of brings about the sort of desire for change, and that it moves people and institutions towards change. The suffrage movement was the one that I thought of most, but what inspired me most about that, particularly as a young woman, I remember when I was learning about it in seminary, was their faith. Many of these women came from very strong faith backgrounds, and they engaged scripture, and they were not afraid to do that, even though that was really against, you know, societal perspective. So, you know, that was the part that really stood out to me, and I still really enjoy it.
I'll pause and ask, are you open to being filmed as part of this? and if not, wave me off. But there's no use this camera pointing at me if we're going to go around and let you talk. Might as well. Right, Rick? Is that okay?
Wow, they're glad they're already spoke.
You're going to have to get this. You'll have to get this back in the right spot. But all right, just say hi, just so we'll know they at least got your voice, but we didn't get your face, so now we have your faces. All right, who's going to go next?
I'll continue this.
It's a real test of extroversion with the camera on you.
Brian Daugherty. I work full time at Duke University Medical Center in the emergency department. And I work part time as a clinical social worker in a psychiatric hospital at Colleyville Hospital.
Now, so far, both of you have these other roles that you didn't share before our time together.
We're both MSW and Divs as well.
Fantastic.
So what is social movement? I put that it creates change in the world by inspiring people to action, and I'm guessing that could be positive or negative. A riot could be a social movement. For me, things that are inspiring are stuff that's intelligently designed and makes sense and actually does something. Like there's a guy that designs shoes, and for every shoe he sells, he gets one. Right. With, what's that website too? I think it's Akiva.org or whatever.
Oh, Akiva, yeah, does it financially. Financial development.
$25 to right. it, and then people all around the world can create startup companies.
Right, they do microloans through
microloans.
Investment.
The feedback rate is like 99%. Yeah. And a lot of these folks are women, and places we don't think women have power to. So those are all both intelligently designed, and they actually do something. I like that.
We don't have to go around the room. We can move.
I realized that when I did that.
That's right. Who's next?
My name is Heather Mustaine, and I am also a dual MSW and Div alum from.
It's not a requirement for the room. Some of you were getting nervous.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I am also an ordained Baptist minister, so I work at a church as the minister of missions in Dallas, Texas. And I wrote very similar social movement. But what inspires me particularly, and probably because of my interest, is I'm really deeply inspired by movements that are created and started in the church. Because I just have a deep belief that advocacy for justice should be a component for church and community ministry.
Now, do you have a specific example?
I had a guest speaker come to our church recently from a church in South Dallas, and they are very involved in advocacy and justice issues, specifically with payday and auto title loans, and just the work that they're doing to help their community members get out of the debt, and then also the policy changes that they're helping work on. It was really inspirational for us to hear.
Good to hear small and big, historic and current. Who's next? Oh, all right. We'll let you. Since the camera's on Houston, we'll let Houston then, Burl.
I'm Houston Thompson, at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais, Illinois. I most recently, department chair for social work, criminal justice, taught social work, and just this fall, transition rose. So I still have a connection to social work and still work with them. I listed in terms of what it is. To me, it's one or more people who are focused on creating change or changing circumstance, kind of a typical answer to that. That's what I think of. And a classic example for me is small scale. At one point in my life, I worked with some center city neighborhoods where there was a housing authority where children were typically at risk of getting hit by cars crossing the street to go to a quick stop kind of station. And in some cases, did get hit. And the parents, who typically were perceived to lack power and really have a voice, just banded together and really moved forward in an agenda to get the city to put in a couple of stop signs. and drove that risk rate way down. And when I think of social movement, to me, that's just a classic example of something real small scale. And it inspires me that folks who, you know, seemingly had little power, little voice, could create such significant positive change.
Hi, Burl. Are you still willing to go?
Sure. I'm Burl. I'm from Brentwood, Tennessee area. Graduated from Carver Seminary, and so I'm LMSW, but certificate in theology, if that counts. Minister of Congregational Care, Community Care at Brentwood Baptist. For me, I work within the deaf community, and the reason this jumped out at me was for working with deaf population specifically. I think for me, social movement, it may be small scale, it may be larger, but it brings about, in my mind, a greater awareness of what's happening to a particular population group or a crisis. An example that comes to mind is in 86 at Gallaudet University. It's the University for the Deaf. I was there with my dad, who was chaplain, and they had the protest because they hired the next president, someone that couldn't sign and who was hearing and really didn't have any involvement in the deaf community. The students rallied. And when you see that change affected every deaf child from there on out. It made the news. And so for me, that was just a powerful, powerful moment.
Sure. Shaped your whole sense of vocation, it sounds like.
Well, my parents are deaf.
So you were on that. You were on that trajectory anyway.
They're deaf and they were missionaries, so that
wow.
Really much.
Wow.
Yeah, so. But yeah, that would be a social movement.
Yeah. Great. Thanks. You really can't wave me off if you don't want to be filmed.
My name is Jonna Andrew. I work at a small nonprofit called Caring Place in Cleveland, Tennessee. I do food and clothing and social services, which is me. So, or I try, at least. One of the definitions of great social movement, I just put a group of people fighting for a cause or change in a society's actions. An example, I put a really large scale example, civil rights movement. I think that is something that's always inspired me, even as a child. Reading and stuff, and some of the, I guess, you know, foundations that got me interested in it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hard not to recognize the value of that.
I'm going to keep the Tennessee theme going. My name's David Switzer. I'm actually originally from Massachusetts, currently from Franklin, Tennessee. I'm currently an unemployed social worker. I've been volunteering a lot in our area, a place called RaceWorks, which you might be familiar with, as well as the Tennessee Right to Life agency in Nashville. I'm an English major, so I got pretty wordy. I defined a social, as an event or series of events that inspire, direct, facilitate, bring about change in how society looks at, deals with, and responds to a particular social issue.
That's fantastic. I might have you email me that. Replace my definition with yours.
So I'll keep the civil rights movement thing going because that's exactly what I put down. I've focused a lot on mental health and with children as I've worked over the years. And one of the big themes in mental health is people getting defined by their mental illness. You say, there goes a schizophrenic,
right.
As opposed to there is a person who has schizophrenia.
Yeah.
The illness does not define the person any more than other things about people define them. God created us, he gave us who we are. Our skin color, our race, where we're from, all of that is part of who we are, but it is not who we are. And so that, to me, really kind of... And the civil rights thing, it's just ongoing. It was something that was highlighted in the 60s, but it never stops.
I can go next.
I'm Katie Sneed, and I'm the director of the social work program at Indiana Wesleyan University in Indiana. And getting ready to probably start teaching social welfare and social policy, so I thought this would be a great workshop for me to maybe brush up. Grad school was a very long time ago for me. So, but my definition is what a group who have a common cause or concern come together to influence the behaviors, attitudes, and values of others toward their cause. And then the examples that I gave were civil rights and the women's suffrage movements. And what strikes me with both of those is the boldness of the people involved in those programs and in those movements, and how bold people, and how one person can make change. And getting others on board. So that's sorry for being late, too.
No worries.
I'll go. I'm Matt Burgess from Bloomington, Illinois. I'm the chief operating officer at a homeless ministry there. We're a large shelter, food pantry, soup kitchen, provide a lot of services to the community. My definition of social movement largely falls in line with everybody else's, so I'm not going to be late at that. But one that's inspiring to me currently is something working in the field of trying to do social services for a long time. I read a lot of books, and I've read a lot of John Perkins and Christian Community Development Association efforts. I was just down here in March visiting Bob Lupton's place, and so it's very inspiring to me that the whole focus on reconciliation and restoration of all of us, I think, is what's really inspiring to me about the movement that the Perkins started.
Absolutely. Yeah, Charles Marsh's book, Beloved Community, is really what inspired me to first start thinking about social movements and the role of faith.
Part of how it's playing out for me is my ministry has been in Bloomington for almost 100 years, and we're pretty traditional in how we do services, and so we're trying to change that direction to be much more development-oriented, and it takes those bold people to set the course for us.
Perkins is a great example of that. Thanks. Next.
I'll go. I am an introvert.
All are welcome, Roger.
My name is Roger Jennings. I'm from Wilmore, Kentucky, home to Asbury University and Asbury Theological Center. I, too, am an MSW MD of Double Dipper. I put down a change in the social environment. I wanted to be fairly simple, but yet very encompassing. Example, to me, it was civil rights movement. I was alive and kicking during the 60s, so went through that, and remember hearing about and watching people like Rosa Parks, who just one day she was very tired, but was also fed up with the system and chose not to give up her seat on the bus. Courage that took. And others in the civil rights movement, headliner Martin Luther King Jr., but things like the march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, and the fire hoses and the dogs, all of the punishment that those people took and continue to take even now. We do not have a resolved racial justice system in the United States. We're still working on that. It's better than it used to be, but still it's not what it can be, nor is it what it should be.
Okay. totally okay. I'm an off the chart introvert. I can't wait till the last one ever do it.
I hope I didn't even realize you were in the room.
But I could have waved you off, but I'm not. I'm Susan Carlier, and I am from South Carolina, the University of South Carolina. I'm the coordinator of the undergraduate and ESW program here. We have a newly minted ESW program, so we're real proud of that. I've been a social worker a long time, and I define, and I've been a practicing social worker longer than I've been whatever they call it, a practitioner, academic person. Social movement is one that begins with a small group of people who organize a larger grassroots group of people around a change toward freedom or rights and concern. And then it eventually moves to, it moves into political action. Because I think it almost has to move to political action to have any kind of effectiveness. I have two movements.
That's fine.
I have three. Well, but, there are two that I lived, marched, carried on about, the three, and two that I still live because of South Carolina politics. And action with civil rights and the feminist movement. I lived both of those all my life, it seems like, because my parents were very involved in integrating South Carolina. So I have vivid memories of what that was like. I also, just because I want to say it, it's a movement that we don't hear much about anymore, to end Vietnam, the war in Vietnam. That was a social movement we don't really talk about much anymore. Why is it important? You know, we've all said wonderful things. So mine's going to seem kind of in there. And I think it's important because it speaks about a group of people and individuals who think about something larger than themselves. And I think that's what social movements are for me. It's not necessarily about me, and hopefully it will live longer than I ever live. And I'm still involved in all this stuff. So I'm happy to be.
Appreciate your passion.
I forgot to say, I'm Episcopalian, since all y'all are saying things. That's my introvert. I think about things later. I'm a deacon in the Episcopal Church, so
here. Excellent.
Combining all that. All right, Raymond, I saw that hand.
Yeah. my name is Raymond Adams. Currently, I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Missouri School of Social Work. What I define as what is a social movement, I wrote, a social movement is where social inequalities can no longer be ignored by mainstream society. And the reason why I wrote that is to kind of support the second question. One of the persons in this world who has inspired me a lot is Nelson Mandela, how he ended the apartheid in South Africa. He has been a dynamic individual for me just simply because of the work he's still doing in South Africa, even though given his current health situation. To say why, I felt like the social movements kind of offer a way to introduce how equality is not present in structures that do exist in current societies. And I think that's what social movements do. They bring critical consciousness to these structures and how they are not beneficial for all its members in that particular society. So that's my
Rick and I were talking about Nelson Mandela before the session. There's a video I'll try to show it in a little while that has a clip of him. And Rick and I were talking about how inspiring he is. Good to hear you mention it.
My name is Kiana Robinson, and I am a doctoral student at Clark Atlanta University with the Young Social Work Program. I'm also a practicing social worker. I have have a love for child welfare. That's where I initially started. I graduated into juvenile justice issues. I currently landed my dream job, which is paired with my research interests. I'm currently working as a social worker as a juvenile court commission, which I do mental health counseling with using the MDFT model. Kind of always bringing in the it takes an entire village to raise a child model, in which we work with the individual, but we also work with the community and its systems, and helping a juvenile navigate those, you know, who do not necessarily understand what's going on. There's two movements that I think that kind of personifies this. Of course, the Civil Rights Movement. I'm a product of Alabama State, or Alabama, University of Alabama, and their social work program, which originally stood across the street from Will Connor, who denied the former right. students to attend. And I take that as a personal achievement to be able to be there and to look across the street and see that and know that I'm a descendant of their hard work and their boldness. The other is that raising the consciousness about social, well, juvenile justice issues in itself and how a juvenile thinks and what is their level of understanding of consequences and looking at their brain development and that. So I'm very interested in that and trying to fix some of the brokenness of our juvenile system, which is not properly formed to begin with. So I'm excited about that, and I look forward to continuing in that.
Thanks, Kiana. Glad you're here. And then number two. Three.
I'll go. My name is Ron Maurer. I am the director of the social work program at Trevecca Nazarene University in Nashville, Tennessee. I am a recovering introvert.
Wow.
And noted for being quiet in social circles. And Jamie will testify to that. Just a brief comment in regards to defining or whatever a social movement is. And I only, one of the couple things that I weigh to on that, one is I think it's something to challenge and also hopefully change. And here's a word that I think is important here, and that is a perceived social injustice in society. It may not be seen that way by everyone, but certainly by the people who are picking up the torch for it, it is certainly their perception that it is social injustice. So, and I think some of the, several of the different examples that have been given would fall into that category. So anyway, I'm going to give a couple of things, just briefly. One of the ones that I thought about had to do with children back a number of years ago, and we commonly refer to it as, well, we talk about the orphan trains. And I was trying to think of something that would be a little bit different, but it has been an inspiration to me, but something that I thought maybe others would not pick up on so much. But I think that that, when I think of that story, and you know, people say, well, one person can't change something. And I think one person did. I think it was Charles Warren Brace, who it was, that was instrumental in getting all of that started. And it involved primarily, yes, one section of the country where they were concerned about the orphans that were out on the streets. And they moved them from New York City out into different areas of the United States, primarily, I think, out to the Midwest and farming areas. But, and I realized, you know, sometimes social justice social movements are not necessarily popular with some people, and I think we also have a tendency sometimes to go back and criticize people for things that we have that have happened in the past. But I think that's part of the Dillingham flaw when we look at things and we make judgments based on where we are today, not necessarily where people were at that time. So I think that was one that has inspired me because it shows that one person can make a difference. Something needed to be done. He recognized it. He thought creatively for what it was going on at that time. It was a huge undertaking, and yet made things happen. So I think that was the first one. The second one is a modern day, I think, social movement that no one has spoken about at this point, and that is the pro-life or anti-abortion movement. And I think, you know, when you think about, and today it's very different in many ways than in the past because of mass media today, and we have the internet and TV and radio and all these things, and you know, so many people, it's so much easier to be critical of movements, and if the media doesn't like it, they pounce all over it, trying to pour water and douse it. But I think the anti-abortion movement has been a very real inspiration to me, not only because I believe in it, and I think that it's an important thing to try to save lives, but when you talk to people, and I realize there's a whole scale of this, but very passionate, and I think passion has to be a part of any social movement. I think that was really, is really important, that the three P's: passionate, persistent, and patient. And I think we see all of those with that. And then it's an NP, but not popular. And they are willing to stand up and to go against the media and all of its glory, if you will, and its power. It's not politically correct to take the stand of being pro-life in this day and age. And so, anyway.
Not bad for enjoyment.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron. Very glad you're here.
Thank you.
You are in recovery. You're in recovery. All right, Dorrance.
I'm Dorrance Kennedy, another recovering introvert. Doctoral student and instructor of social work at Fayetteville State University, and I'm a pastor of a small church in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I define social movement as a mass mobilization of people seeking social justice, and I'm inspired by the civil rights movement.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Glad you overcame that introversion to share a little bit with us. Now is that everyone? If not, then that means you're an introvert, and you're not going to be the one to tell me. Did you say anything? No, do you not want to be on film? Will you talk to us not on film? Well, we talked before, so I couldn't remember. I was trying to remember if the stuff I knew about you was just stuff you said beforehand, or if we let you talk to the group, right, Yolanda? Talk to us.
My name is Yolanda Alba. I am an LCSWA, so I'm a divisionally licensed clinical social worker, so I'm doing outpatient therapy. Have done a lot of work, community work, actually, so working in community, in context with people. And I tend to work with those, quote, invisible populations, so homeless people with AIDS, HIV, and it's been really rewarding. In looking at this definition, and I did something really simple. Basically, it's people collaborating around issues and providing that construct for change. And so, it simply stated, but of course, brought examples. A lot of examples inspire me. I remember when the wall came down in Germany back in 89, sorry. There's South Africa, having a chance to visit post-apartheid era, and seeing the adjustment and the differences. And then there's a local movement right now for those invisible folks, homeless folks, where a lot of Christian organizations are choosing to serve folks who they're being run away by, you know, law enforcement and things like that. And so there was a recent meeting to get together to see how to do that appropriately, and also to advocate for others. It takes a lot of courage, though, I'm noticing in movements. If you look at our international movement recently, people have been martyred for it, and it's been shown on TV because of the media. So let's use media as our friend, I think. We can leverage that. But it is long-suffering and sacrificial to promote that change. So it just isn't a blip on the screen, but it is suffering. It's still, you know, movements are going on in 2013.
Thank you all. Now I'm hesitant to put mine up on the screen because you all have great definitions. And it's not one I'm wed to, it's one I wrote for a chapter in a book. And I think that's the only reason I was asked to come and do this, is Rick knew that I wrote a chapter in a book on social movements. I'm not an expert in social movements. I teach in our school of social work across our macro content in the curriculum, and so that means that social movement sometimes finds its way into practice courses at the macro level, or HPC courses, the more macro HPC courses. And I really am interested in understanding movements, and so I see myself as much a facilitator as an instructor today. I guess I first thought of myself as being involved in a movement and interested in movements through the work of a social movement organization that was birthed out of a movement, but that then helped contribute to the birth of a new movement. And it's the work of Bread for the World. Bread for the World is what most people describe as a social movement organization. And on its website, it still describes itself as a Christian anti-hunger movement. That's their definition of who they are. So they still use the language of movement. And a lot of people who are members of Bread for the World have been connected to it since before its formalization as an organization. Most people think of it as the organization now, but it was a movement for years that kind of ended up formalizing. But over the course of the past decade, because of the growth of their work internationally, they partnered with several other organizations to give birth to a global movement to address poverty that became known as another organization, the One Campaign. In 2005, having been a member of Bread for the World, and while they were launching the One Campaign, they asked me to be a part of a trip to the G8 Summit in Edinburgh, Scotland that year, and to be a part of a U.S. delegation, because global poverty was on the agenda and was an opportunity for us to speak to some of the international leaders that year. So I jumped at the chance. It was great to get to meet with both political leaders who were at the G8 Summit, but also the grassroots participants. This was kind of on the heels of I don't remember if it was G8 or G5, they met I think it was Seattle, where there was such a grassroots uprising in the early 2000s. And so organizers were a little hesitant of what would that look like in 2005. And it wasn't quite as tumultuous at the grassroots level, but it was really interesting to see all the grassroots participants shaping the movement, participating and wanting to work for change for global to address global poverty, while also seeing how some of these political leaders were willing to place it on the agenda.
Thank you for listening today to this 20-minute sample of NACSW's Podcast of the Month featured selection. Just a reminder that you can access the full-length version of this and all NACSW podcasts at no cost by simply becoming a member of NACSW, or by ordering a copy of this podcast at a reasonable cost on NACSW's online bookstore. We also hope that you will consider participating in additional NACSW activities and events, including NACSW's upcoming convention in the fall, our quarterly audio conference workshops, which provide CEUs accredited by the Association of Social Work Boards, and our online continuing education program. Also, we invite you to join NACSW's Facebook group or our Facebook fan page. For additional information about these and other NACSW benefits and services, you can go to our website at www.nacsw.org. Thanks again for listening in to our podcast session today.